I'd appreciate your prayers. And I really enjoyed being here. I thank the Lord. I'm thinking about how the Lord is able to look into our lives and how he helped us and the way he dealt with people. The Lord deals with more than the superficial or the obvious or what can be seen. When people came to the Lord, he was able to deal with them right down where they was at. You remember when the man came to the Lord and said, "Lord, would you talk to my brother about it, dividing the inheritance?" Don't say a whole lot about that passage, but I'm going to have to assume that the brother thought that he was in a righteous place. And surely that Jesus could be a mediator or judge. He wouldn't have went to the Lord being wrong, I don't believe, or him believing that he was wrong in the matter. He thought he was right. He thought he had a righteous cause. But the Lord didn't even deal with his brother. He didn't even deal with him. He actually told him, "Who's made me a divider? That's not what I've even come to do." But he went farther than that. He actually spoke to the inner drive of this man and warned him about covetousness. That's what only the Lord was able to do that. But the Lord did that there and didn't even go into the realms what he was, but he went in to say, "This is what you really need to be concerned about, because this is what's driving the motivation here." So the Lord went and got ahead of where this man was going and tried to deter it. There was another instance where there was two sisters in the scriptures, and named Mary and Martha, and I think they were loving sisters. I think I've seen these sisters before. I think they were close. I do. I think they was close. I think they hugged around on each other and probably sat and talked to each other in close terms. And that's the way the picture I get of these two sisters that grew up together. But one of them got her feathers ruffled because she thought something ought to be different than it was. And maybe it had always been that way. Maybe she was the more aggressive about the things that she was doing and all that. But she too, with a righteous cause. In her mind, she would have had to have thought, when she went to the Lord Jesus, she would have had to have thought that she was in a righteous position and that the Lord would have appreciated that position and that he would have admonished Mary that she should be helping. And I want you to notice something. Mary did not go to the Lord and say, "I'm really concerned about Martha. She needs to be sitting in here." Because and the one in that position never does. The one in that position is saying, "Lord, I need something in my life. I'm not thinking and worrying about all the other. Lord, I need something for my soul." That's where she was at. But if you notice in that scripture, if you remember it, Jesus did not address what Martha wanted him to address. He addressed Martha. "Martha, Martha," he said. "Martha, Martha." "Oh, you're covered about much. I know you think you got it right, but I'm going to go beyond what you're thinking here. You're too encumbered, Martha." Yes. I had a sister one time talking to me about her marriage situation, and she saying of this and that, and I was giving her a little counsel and a little scripture. "This is what I believe you need to do. The Bible's, this is what you should, the Bible, And she finally just got frustrated and said, "Well, what about my husband? What is he supposed to be doing?" And I said, "Sister, your husband's not here." "What do you want me to say?" "He's not here asking. He's not here asking. He doesn't deal with your husband. Deal with you. Deal with you. You got stuff that, and here's where you, the direction that you're going. I don't know about your husband. He's not going to come. He didn't come. But you're here." I have a message for us today. I feel like the Lord give it to me. I'm going to start in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 22nd verse. And I'd like to just kind of give it the title that I've been thinking about in my mind. I would title it, "The Steps Before Sin." You care for your soul? If you really love your soul, you don't come up to the precipice of destruction. When you care for your soul, the scripture says that we walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as a wise. Why? Because I care about my soul. And I don't walk circumspectly means that I'm circling. I'm watching and looking. Is this thing dangerous or not? Is it going to hurt me or isn't it? So sometimes we take the attitude, I can get right up to it, and I didn't intend to, or I didn't think that would happen, or I didn't think that was happening. But a care for our souls means that I'm going to step back from the danger. I'm going to get beyond. I'm going to go back from it. No, that's something that can touch me. Maybe it doesn't touch you the same way, but I got a weakness in this, and it's my besetting place. And no, I'm not going to butt up against my besetting place. Lord, help me to stay back from it. And that way, if I do wander a little bit, I ain't wandered too far. Amen. So in 5th chapter of Matthew, there's a scripture. I just want to pick out a phrase of it. In the 22nd verse, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." In danger of the judgment. I'm in danger of that, and I see it, and I want to prevent that in my life. And whosoever is angry... Well, you can read before that. But he talks about the one that's a judgment of if you murder and those kind of things. Well, I wouldn't say, and I don't think the Lord was trying to say that being angry is the same degree of wrong as what murder would be. But what he's saying is that you're close. You're taking steps towards it. If you don't deal with this anger issue towards your brother, if you don't deal with the hatred towards your brother, you're just a step away. You're getting close. And Jesus, being the one that can deal with the human heart and deal with the very inside things that happens, our thoughts and our feelings and all that, he's going to be able to say this: "You're in danger of judgment. You're in danger. You're just a little bit away." And I'm minded every once in a while of this. My mom, when I was a little boy, I just loved the water. I loved the rivers. And you get me around the river and you had me in it. Summertime, if you got me around the river, I love to go to the river. And I remember we used to go over to town where we was at, Webster Springs it was called, and we'd go over, and my aunt lived right on beside right out her back door was Elk River. And there was time, I loved to go to Aunt Lena's because the river was right there. But we would go there sometimes to town, and then mom we're just going to stop in for a minute, and she would tell me, "Don't get wet." Well, that's a broad idea. She didn't say, "Don't go down and look at the river or throw rocks or anything," but she gave me a particular, specific instruction: "Don't get wet." But I loved the river. But I know mom is a stern lady too. I mean, mom put the crack down on you. And mom said, "Don't get wet." So I can't get wet. But the draw towards the river is strong. And the river's wet. And mom said, "Don't get wet." But I got to go to the river. So I went to the river. I would go to the river. And I loved the river, but I couldn't get in. That's tough. But I could jump rocks. I could go over and jump the rocks and I could do that, but don't get wet. But I can jump the rocks. Just as long as I don't get wet. Wet was the too far. And I was told not to get wet. And do you know what didn't work very well? Was telling my mom I slipped on the rock. Because mom just said, don't get wet. Now the rest of it's up to you. And you know what? Inevitably, if you jump rocks in the river, what's going to happen? You're going to fall in. And then you're going to have to deal with judgment. And Jesus said here, you're in danger of judgment. I was not wise, and I would never have labeled myself with it. Wisdom would have said, don't go down to that river, because you're going to get in trouble. It's highly likely that you're going to get in trouble if you go near that river. But mom didn't say I couldn't go to the river. And that's the way life is a lot of times. There is things that's leading to that. And the Lord knows those things. And I want to tell you, God loves our souls. And there's a lot of things that God, He cares and He deals with us. And He's going to say to us, don't do that. Don't do that. It's not the sin part of it, folks. And we got to realize this. We're caring for our never dying souls. So I want to look at a few scriptures. One of them is in the, so we'll start off in the, I think it's the fourth chapter of Genesis, a familiar passage of scripture here. It says, first verse, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, I just want to think of the story here just a little bit and kind of get some givens that I believe is in there. And one of the givens is there is in the actual explanation of the offerings. One of them's a pretty poor one. I mean, he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering. So he brought some offering. Didn't say there's anything special about it. But Abel brought of the first and the fat thereof. He got the best and he took it. And so there's two different mindsets here. Now the Lord isn't ready to put no crackdown on nobody. The Lord is simply being pleased with one and not with the other. And that should be a line of demarcation to us to say, what's wrong? This is important. This is my soul. I have been arrested a minute. I have been challenged a minute. The Lord did not receive what I give to him. There must be something wrong. And here's the work. He's not taking it. He's not went too far yet. He's just got into this place, and we all can get into this place and be flipping about stuff. But there are steps before sin, and this is where he got to. These are the days and the moments that the Lord is working with him before he's in trouble. Like my mom says, you're not in trouble. Just don't get wet. But the path down to the river was drawing. So he says that he brought and in Cain he had not, and his offering had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? What a privilege it is to have the Lord deal with us in our lives. We might look and say, I'm fearful of that. I don't want that to happen. I don't want the preacher to preach at me. I remember, it wasn't among us, but I remember a guy that got into a a pastor and a Sunday school teacher got into a kind of a rift over there where I grew up, and the pastor ended up telling the Sunday school teacher, he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go ahead and teach Sunday school, but you better not preach anything towards me." And I thought, now that's a real way to go service right there. I say this, listen, brother, you can go ahead and preach Sunday school just as long as you get me something too. But why would you want to go then? We want to go to hear it. Lord, what are you saying to me? What position am I in? But he says, the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? What's going on with you?" I know. The Lord wasn't saying he didn't know what was going on with him. He wanted him to know what was going on with him, right? So he says to him, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" It's a question. If you do well, will you not feel well? Will you not do well? Your countenance won't be fallen. You'll be up. If you do well, you'll be accepted. You're not doing well. You're not sinned. You're not sinned. Your offering wasn't sin. I just didn't accept it. But the steps that you're taking, and the steps that you're taking away from the Lord, and the steps you're taking away from sincerity, and you're going in the wrong way. He says, "If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." He didn't say it was there, but he said it's lying at the door. This is the steps previous for Cain's fall. This is the steps that was previous that he got in, a place that he got into that he did not manage. He did not do it right. The Lord was dealing with him, talking with him, trying to help him out of this situation, but he did not follow that. It was the steps before it. He could have managed it. We know the story, but I'll go on with it. It says, "And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And he said, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." Now we've got there. You went down the trail. You went down the trail, and now you've got to the place, and now this rose up on you, and now you've got to that, and there was a whole history of your life before this, of simply making offering unto the Lord, simply going away in your heart, simply the steps that was before that, and this was the steps that happened. You know, it's a rare, and I'd say almost impossible, but maybe not impossible, but improbable idea that a person is a going along, loves the Lord, and loves love for souls, and serving the Lord, and I got the everything right in their life, and they wake up the next day wrong. It doesn't happen that way. It happens a little bit at a time, just a little bit here and a little bit there. Another scripture over in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel the 18th. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what I want. I want the scripture 11. 2 Samuel 11 is what I want. 2 Samuel 11. To prove that this can happen to anybody. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It says in the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Ramoth, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." Now here's do you see any sin in that? No sin there, is there? But the time, it was just the time that the kings go forth to battle, but David didn't go to battle. Well, David, what was you called for? What's your duty? What's your responsibility? What are you supposed to be doing for the Lord? Well, I'm supposed to be doing this, but you know why? I didn't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. We have gauges in our life, folks. We have gauges sometimes in our life. It is not sin to mince surface. Would claim it, don't believe it. It isn't a sin not to have your morning prayer. It isn't a sin to do it. But there's indicators. There are steps before sin, folks. There is places before. You don't have to read your Bible every day. I don't know if you'll be lost in it. I say, well, you're not saved. You didn't read your Bible this week. Or a devotion. I don't even know where those kind of lines is, but I do know there are steps before sin. I'll tell you, there are steps before falling. There are steps before you got your mind off on something else. And if you don't find the fulfillment of your life in the Lord, you'll find it in something. If you're not excited about the Lord, and if you're not really living for the Lord, and it's an important thing in your life, something will be. And what that something is, I'm just telling you, there are steps before sin. And here the mighty David, the giant slaying, psalm writing, prayerful David, who wanted to lead the nation of Israel back to God. Here he is. Simply with some small steps. That he didn't go do what he was supposed to do. And it says, and it came to pass in the evening time that David rose off his bed. And you know what? There is a little indication that there was a little bit of rest culturally for them in the evening. But I just can't imagine a man up and doing on his bed in the afternoon. Don't work for me, I'll tell you that. Come on, David. Get up out of there. Look, how many days had he done? It doesn't say that he had done it, but he was doing it this day, and I don't think it was the first day that he did it. He was lounging around, taking it easy. He wasn't writing no psalms either, I'll tell you that, and he wasn't in the spirit either. He was laying on his bed. Folks, there's steps.
Yes, that's right.
Before fall. There's steps, and here's David's steps. And all of a sudden, David's in a place in his heart and in his life that he did not want to be in. Folks, I'm going to tell you, David had a heart towards God and he didn't want to be in this place. But this is what incrementally he allowed himself to get into. And this is the place that he's in. And now he gets off of his bed in the evening time. I'm going to tell you, I've been in this kind of place. Have you ever been in a place that you just was kind of bored with life? Has anybody ever but me ever just been in a place that you just said, I'm just bored at life today? It's a snowy, rainy day, and sometimes I don't do this anymore much, but I remember vividly being at a place like this and saying, well, turn the radio on. Turn the radio off and I'll go maybe get the basketball and dribble it in the hallways. Or I mean, I just want something to do. I feel like that, if you give me that liberty, I feel like David was in that kind of a place. Just I lay on the bed for a while and up and just going to do something in life's got to be different than it is. It's just kind of miserable life. I know that's a lot of liberty, but. It said he got off of his bed and walked up on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman and a washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. No, she's ugly. Just ugly. Now, it don't work that way. That's not the way it happens. He looked and it was a beautiful. Of course she was. Of course she was. And of course, David, you're in a place. And of course this is this. David hadn't sinned yet. But it lies at the door. And his pre-action is what's getting him there. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. I really believe this. I believe that our Savior loves us enough that he's going to warn us and he's going to protect. He's going to help us pre-sin. You can't tell me I ain't going to deal with you and work with you and put guards up and say, listen, you're going somewhere. You're pointing the wrong way. If you keep doing this, this is what the end's going to be. And I believe he loves us too much to just let us go wayward without checking us. He checks us, but are we minding the checks? You know what? To be honest with you, sir. Some of the reading here about this is a little embarrassing to me all these thousands of years later, is how bad this is. But this is the way it goes. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Oh! No! Nope, not now. Not now. He knew better. But folks, we're emotional creatures, and we don't have the control that we think we have. I'll say this. I need the Lord. Help me. You do too. You need the Lord. You need the Lord in these kind of places, because we can get to this and the feelings of how much I care or what I should do isn't there. And there's a drive that's stronger than the thing that I had. And I can do it. And it's what happened to David. David's intellect, David's past experience, David and all that wasn't as strong as this was. This was stronger to him. No, it wouldn't have been if he'd have been sitting writing psalms and praying. Or if he'd have been out of war where he was supposed to do, doing the Lord's will out in battle, that would have been. But no, he allowed himself step by step to get in a place in his heart that he did not have the fortitude and strength to do what he knew he needed to do. And so he called for her and they got it. And this is Uriah's, the Hittite's wife. And David sent messages and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into the house, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Oh, now here you go. You are already bound there. And I'm going to tell you what there are steps before sin, and there are steps before more sin, and there are steps before more. And David now got him into a place that I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to get out of this. This is going to bring such a black mark to the psalmist, to the cause of God. It's going to come to the kingship, to the nation. It's going to bring such a... What am I going to do now? Cover sin. There was precepts to all of this ugly scene that he went down before. And there is going to be it in our lives too. There's going to be a runway before takeoff. There's no doubt about it. And the Lord loves us, folks. And when those checks come, we need to pay attention to those checks and say, Lord, help me. And when I feel that, God is open to us. And when we get to those places, instead of trying to hide, stop trying to hide stuff from God. When you start feeling these things, it's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I'm in a place, and if you don't help me, I'm in trouble. Lord, help me. I don't feel like I got enough power for this. I don't. I feel like this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell the Lord, Lord, this is the way I'm going. And the Lord can help us divert that. He's going to warn us and help us. The story of David is one of the biggest black marks in the whole scripture. What a terrible thing he did. You want to remember the rest of the story? She comes and says, I'm with child, and now what he's going to do? Well, I got to do it some way, so go get Uriah out of, he's in the army, and he's in, so go get him and bring him back home. Well, that's a good answer. That's right. Hey, this covers the whole thing, and only me and you and God knows, and you know what I mean? That's all that we deal with here, and bring Uriah back up there, and he's such an honorable man that he says the armies of Israel are in the fields, and I come and be with my wife. Ain't happening here. Honorable and such a devoted man and to the cause and all of that, and he couldn't get Uriah to react the way he should react, and here's old David. Oh no, going to have to go to plan B. C, D, cover, try to hide what ugly sins that he did. And finally, to the point that the only solution was, if Uriah isn't going to cooperate, he told the captain, take him out there, and I want you to attack and put him up front and fight and stay with the battle until he falls. And that's what happened. He died. Uriah died. And David did it. Oh, but you can't hide things from God. You remember the story? Well, I don't need to go on with the story, because my message today is there's steps before sin. And he got back to the Lord. Thank God for mercy. But I'm going to tell you, there's steps. We're going to look at another passage of Scripture in Genesis, the 13th chapter. This is familiar to you. So there's a story here in the 13th chapter. Yeah, maybe I'll read some of it. I can't say all these words well, but we'll try. It says, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on the journeys from the south, even Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, and so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and my herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram called the land in Canaan, the land of Canaan, dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities and plains, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So here's the story. You heard it. They had a contention between their herdsmen. So Abraham, in his honor and righteous ways, he tells Lot, he didn't try to outsmart him, outwise him, anything. He said, we're going to have to part ways, and so you choose. Basically, he said, you choose. I won't even choose. I'm not going to try to get the better land from you. You choose, and when you go one way, I go to the other. So it's up to you to choose. Don't you think that Lot would have been better off not to have went to Sodom and Gomorrah? There were steps that took him that way. He turned and pitched his city, his tent. Okay, Uncle Abraham, I'm going this way. I'm going towards those cities where I think he already knew. They were wicked and evil cities. And he pitched his tent that way. Do you know that was a mistake? Oh, we don't always see the mistakes until the mistakes happen. But the Lord knows the mistakes of that. I think that when you and I, in good faith and serving the Lord, I think when you and I say that I'm going to go, I think the Lord's going to speak to us about that. Don't do that. I know that it looks good. It's well watered. I know that the cities are appealing. I know there's a draw towards all of that. But don't do that. Don't do that. You don't know the end of this thing like I do. Don't go down that road, because if you do, sin is at the door down there. Sin is, there's an awful, you're going to have a destruction to your family. You're going to lose more than you could ever gain. You're going to lose more than you ever think you can. It's going to cost you more than you'll ever pay. If you pitch your tent that way, you start down a road that is inevitable to a destruction. Don't go that way. Don't take the steps that's going to lead you that way. Many people use that as a thing. I mean, I've heard it all my life. Oh, smoking one cigarette don't hurt you. One beer don't hurt you. Or one thing don't hurt you. Or that music ain't that bad. Or that watching that doesn't touch me much. And then the Lord would say, maybe none of it's sin at its beginnings, but every one of it is a step towards something. And the Lord would say, you are in danger of judgment. You're in danger of judgment. Because this is the road that you're going down. You think about the story of Saul King Saul. You know, King Saul ended up a mess, didn't he? He didn't start out a mess. He started out the Lord anointing to be king. He ended up exalting himself and all that. But you know, one of the places that really was a pre-step for him to sin is when the scripture says that he eyed David. Saul, what are you doing? You not got something else to do? I mean, is life getting humdrum for you? I mean, Saul, what are you doing? It said that he eyed David. He envied him. He envied David. David was blessed. How is God blessing somebody negative to you? Now, I want you to think about this, because we're human and the devil brings temptations. But how is God prospering somebody negative to you? How can it be? It can't be. And let me tell you, at the least, we are responsible for one another, aren't we? Am I not somewhat responsible to my brother that if he's in a need, I'm responsible to take care of him? So at the least, them being blessed keeps me from having to do the duty of taking care of him. I mean, if you want to look at it so carnally, I mean, I don't have to pick up his electric bill if he can do it himself. I mean, at least the blessing of that's on it. But it's much more than that. There's no way that somebody being blessed. I hope God blesses everybody fully. I hope their lives are rich, and I hope he richly blesses us with the material things of life too. And I hope you have plenty bank account and that you're generous to the Lord. And why would I? How does it affect me? But he eyed. Saul had a preset place that ended him up as a bad spirit. And how did he get a bad spirit? Are you born with a bad spirit? Well, we're born carnal, I know that. But we're not born with a bad spirit. Spirits is what you, the decisions and what you choose into your life. Saul chose things into his life of an envious, jealous spirit. And he encompassed that, and all of a sudden he throwing javelins at a spear and trying to pin David to the wall, and he was envious of him, and he pursued him and chased him, and he was God's anointed, and Saul didn't care, and Saul ends up dying a humiliating death, and none of it needed to be that way. He had to get the wages of sin. And sin was there was precepts to it. And he started down a road that he didn't want to stop. And after a while, it paid the dividend. There was a quote by Winston Churchill in the beginning pre-World War II. And he made a speech where he said, and he was one of the few ones at the time that was saying it, him and one other man really of prominence was the only ones in England that was saying anything about it, but he said this: you will deal with Hitler in his weakness, or you'll deal with him in his strength. The time to deal with him now is in his weakness. Deal with him now. Take care of this issue now. If we take care of the issue now, we're big enough to do it. We can do it now. But if you wait, you're going to allow him to build up, and he's going to be stronger, and it's going to be harder and harder to take him out. And Winston Churchill was absolutely right. They appeased Hitler. They tried to let him do this. He began to take more territory. He began to get more armaments. He began to get more technical military stuff. He started building it more and more and more. When Churchill said that, Europe could have smashed him out and said, no, you're not going to do this. They didn't have the will for it. They didn't have the heart for it. There was pre-steps to World War II that the people did not take care of those things, and it led into a disastrous war because they did not take care of the issues that was at hand. And it's the same way in our lives. There is pre-steps to the sins of our life. There is things that's going to say, this is going to lead us there. And when we start seeing the gauges, and I say, thank God for the gauges that the Lord gives us, because he gives us gauges in our life to be able to look and say, Do I have the grace that I should have? Do I have the power in my life that I should have? Do I have a desire? The desire for the Lord. Folks, you're going to have a desire for something. I can tell you right now, you're going to have a desire for something. And you're going to feel that desire, what that desire is. And we can have multiple desires, but our main desire, our first desire should be the Lord and the passion of the Lord and serving the Lord. And when we start, that starts, every one of us should be in fear of judgment when we start losing the passion that we have to serve the Lord. Because that's the drive that we have to do the things that we should have. Lord, give us the passion to serve you and to do what's right and to be able to do it. No, it might not be sinful or bad for you to just miss a service and maybe miss another service here or there and things happen and all that. But I would say for the good of your own soul that you should make a consecration to the Lord that I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to be faithful to serve you. And I'm going to be there if I can. And I'm going to give you my heart to this. Because if I don't, I'm going to put something else in its place. And before long, there's going to be a lack of desire to you. Say, how do I do this when I just don't even like doing it? It's gauge. I went to service one time. I'm going to tell on myself. I went to service one time and I didn't want to go anyway. You ever do that? Well, I didn't feel like going. But I went. And the preacher gets up. And I used to say that was the driest message I ever heard. Drier than toast. It was dry. You'd have had to add water to it to make it as dry as dust. Driest service I ever heard. And when it was over, I was glad. And Brother Jim stands up and says, "Thank God for the good message." What good message? Where was this brother at? Oh, and he started saying what the Lord had said. I was sitting there totally dumbfounded. And I'm arguing in my mind with Brother Jim. I listened to that whole dry message and the Lord didn't say that. The message, he didn't even say that in his message. And I'm sitting there doing that. You know what I had to come to understand? There was something dry there that day. And it wasn't the preacher. It wasn't Brother Jim for sure. It was me. And if the preacher don't get up and say any more, or blessed are the pure in heart, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. No, it wasn't the message. It wasn't the service. It wasn't the people. It was me. I was dry, and that was a precursor. If I don't do something about that, you think I'm going to keep going to some place that I feel like that about? No, I'm going to play a ball game. I'll go to the lake. I'll do something when it's that bad. But it wasn't them. It was the lack I had in my own heart. I had to say to the congregation, I'm losing my desire. Will you all pray for me? I used to just feel I had to come to service. I wanted to come to service. And I don't feel like it anymore. You're going to pray for me. Open myself up. Pray for me. I want to be saved and I want to do this, but I don't want to be miserable over it. This is miserable when you don't want to do it and you're doing it for some show of things or something like that. No, I want to have it right. And that was just the precepts into something I never found out because the Lord checked me. I never had to find out where that was going to go because the Lord checked me in that. And I'm going to tell you, there is things that when we start, I remember somebody that said one time they got saved and they had made a comment. Oh, the husband wasn't saved, but the wife was going to be saved, and come to a point that the husband had done something the wife didn't like, and the wife just put it down to him and said, "Now I don't want you to think that because I started serving the Lord that you're going to get by with all that stuff, because I ain't putting up with that stuff." Well, there flashed a big light. There's pre There's pre-attitudes and there's preset things and there's a pre-notion to this. And it's told in the scriptures over and over. And the people that got in trouble, oh, Judas, come on, Judas. Judas with the money bag and the money grubbing. There were signs all the way along the way of what he was getting himself. You go, you keep falling down this way, Judas, and you're and loving that money bag. You're got anything's possible to you. The devil's going to have a way into you with that kind of a thing. Lord, help us today to take the steps that we need to step. Sometimes there's a real criticism against some of the standards that the church holds. Do you know what the standards are, really? They're just the pre-fence. They're a fence that stands before that and the precipice. That's what they are. They're a good place to say that here's a good guideline for me. Here's a good place to stop at. And the saints of old and those that have experienced this have said the Bible has a doctrine and it needs a standard to it. And here's where you need to stand. The standard in there was the time they went with by different tribes and they went and the standard was everybody could see. And what it did was in battle is it marked the place we own now. That's what it was. This is where I'm standing. Everybody will know. Right here is my gonna stand. Right here is where I'm at on this position. Right here is where I stand with it. And it's good and it's safe and it keeps me away from the precipice. That's what it is a lot of the times with it is. So Lord, help us to say, you know what? I might look a little nutty here with that, with this. But my soul's at stake at this. And I'm going to walk circumspectly around this. I am not going to just rush into this and lose my soul. I'm going to take the steps as they come. And if the Lord approves this as it goes, then I can say amen. But until he does, I'm going to give the benefit to my soul. And it'll be over long, before long anyway. So Lord, help us all. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.